the almost said, "Inland Empire shall be saved," but I almost got you today. I almost got you today. Hey, let's talk. Now we asked some of you guys to wear neon. This is the closest I have to neon, unfortunately. This is the closest I get is yellow. But I have this. This is kind of nice. Yeah. Okay. So, but the whole idea is Easter is beautiful. Easter. Now, Christmas is when Jesus was born. We got that one down. Easter was when Jesus died, rose from the grave. Right? That's when he was resurrected. That's everything we believe as a Christian hinges, it sits, it rests on this one holiday called Easter. It's Easter is the day that the world went from black and white to color. It is pretty good. Easter is the day that God turned up the volume on his goodness. Easter is the day that everybody's life began to change. It's the day that Jesus, I mean, look, God could never lose, but it's the day that Jesus showed how much God can win. You see, Easter is that moment where we went from being somebody that was losing a war in life to a person that could win this war in life. I mean, look, the world is tough, and the world is tough. It wasn't always that way, but ever since the first set of bad decisions was made, things got ugly. Yeah, and you know, I mean, I you know, the internet has made it popular, but there's a little saying that goes something like this. It goes, "Not today, Satan." That's right. Oh, not today. And to be real, to be honest, I mean, without making it seem a little too silly, that's a motto for life, right? That's got to be the motto for life, not just some saying some interesting looking individuals on the internet say, but it's got to be the way we live life. Because look, you can live life pushed around, or you can live life getting through and going around the hardships of life. See, today you don't have to live life like everybody else, and it's all a matter of how you see yourself. This isn't like positive thinking stuff, but what I've noticed is that when you don't know the truth, you get stuck in lies. And today I'd like to share with you the truth about Easter. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we say Satan and you know, it sounds funny, and we could all say the devil made me do it. But the truth of the matter is that you have an enemy of your soul. I don't know if you realize this, but you have an enemy. In your life, every Christian there's three bad guys in a Christian's life. Every Christian has three bad guys. The world, the way the world systems work, right? It's kind of jacked up. It's the system, man. It's broken. And then, of course, you've got you, because you've heard it before. You are your own worst enemy, right? Sometimes you can be your hardest critic. When you look at the mirror, or when you look at your work, or when you look at what you're doing, or especially if you're on a sport team, you can see every mistake you make. And sometimes we can be our own worst critic, our own worst enemy. Sometimes we're the one that can really jack us up. But what we don't realize is those are two easy things to see. Is a lot of times we don't always see how this third enemy plays into it, because we kind of get a little woo-woo, or we get a little, we kind of think it's like cartoon stuff, or we begin to think, you know, maybe it's just a metaphor, an analogy, an idea of a universal concept. See, those are good words right there. But what we don't realize is that if the Bible's real, and it is, then it talks about this enemy of our soul, Satan himself, demons, evil spirits, things like that. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not saying you have a boogeyman under your bed, but I am saying that you have an enemy that works in a spiritual way against your spirit. You ever got angry for no reason? You ever just been sad and you're like, I don't know, I'm just sad. You ever just done something stupid and you think, why did I even do that? Now, I'm not saying you got a demon. That's not a universal statement. I mean, some of y'all, I don't know. But I'm not saying, for the most part, I'm not saying you're demon-possessed, but I'm saying that there's influences in our heart and our spirit, whisperings in our ear, that we have to know how to overcome and conquer. You see, the Bible says that a person without Jesus lives in a world of darkness, but a person with Jesus lives in a world of light. And today, you have the choice to live in darkness or light. You see, Satan, the enemy he of our soul, he kind of started off as a good guy. And it's kind of crazy to think let me bring it down this way, because people, you like dogs, right? People like dogs, generally speaking. Cats, maybe not so much, but dogs are all right. Let me tell you the story in dog terms. Satan was a good guy. Kind of like this. Oh, look at, come on, a German. Look at that. Look at that. That's a beautiful dog. That's a German Shepherd / Wiener dog, obviously, because he's stretched. Look at him. Now, the problem is, now that's, the wiener dog is gone. Okay. No longer a Dachshund. Okay. So you have this beautiful, beautiful puppy here. This is kind of like the enemy of her soul before he was our, he was a cohort, a family member, a buddy, a confidant per se. But then again, Satan, as you may know, have heard, he made some bad decisions. He decided to turn his back on God. He became a very ugly individual. He went from Lucifer the light bearer to the devil, the accuser, the adversary, the meanie. Not as pettable anymore. I think we should bring back the wiener dog, okay? And he became the enemy. The Bible says that his name literally means the one who strikes and strikes and strikes and strikes. It's like the guy that always pokes you in the back until eventually you have a bruise because it's like, just leave me alone. That's kind of like this guy here, the devil. Not today, Satan. Now, Easter comes along because the world's pushed around and beat down by every evil thing in this world. And we end up becoming a slave to darkness, this world. What happens is Easter comes. And Jesus Christ gives a good slap upside the head to this enemy. And it completely turns the way we can view him. It is something maybe a little more, a little more less frightening. Can I put it this way? A little more. I feel like I can handle this. The other one, maybe not so much. This guy, I don't want him hanging around my house per se, but if he did come into my house, I think I could deal with him. And this is what happened on the third day when Jesus rose. He punked the ultimate punk. Yeah, I don't know if he's ugly or cute. I just can't tell the difference. And now this is the current situation in March 2016 between us and Satan. The current situation would probably look a lot like this. This is, you could say that the big white dog is a lot like Jesus, and the little black dog would be the enemy of our soul. But to describe this picture more accurately would be a lot more like, and this is what we don't realize, to accurately describe this picture in spiritual terms would more be like, you have Satan on a leash here, his teeth are sharp, but he'll only bite if you get close enough to him. And the big, drooling, intimidating white dog is a lot more like us. Right? I mean, the immediate idea is like, well, you have Jesus and the devil. Like, if we were to talk this to the story in dog language, this is, but the truth of the matter is, you and I are a lot more like that big white dog, and the enemy, Satan, is a lot more like that little puppy, and that's a strange thing to us to hear sometimes. But let me take you on a let's go a little deeper into this story through Scripture today. I spoke it to you in dog. Now let's speak it to you in Scripture, okay? This is the breakdown of what happens in Easter when you go from darkness to light. You see, it all begins with us in a battle. Every day you wake up and you have to make choices. Every day. I mean, besides the Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, Cheerios debate. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every day you wake up, you go to school, you sit with your friends, you say words, you choose to tell certain jokes and not tell certain jokes. You choose to look at women in a certain way. You wake up in the morning and you choose to leave your homework at home and not turn it in, even though you spent hours doing it last night, or you choose to wake up on time, get your homework, and actually turn it in today. You choose to do or not do certain things, and that is where the battle begins. The battle begins in your mind, where you make choices that either put you in a dark place or choices that put you in a light place. What choices do you make? Rather, what dark choices do you find yourself going to? What choices that make you go into a light place do you find yourself going to? In Genesis 3:15, it goes back to the garden, the very beginning of time. And it says, after Adam and Eve made their decision, it says that they began to blame everybody else. And all of a sudden, Satan comes into the picture. And God says, look, Satan, okay, you did this. You tempted them. You did this. Now there's a problem. This is where the war begins. Ground zero. This is where the battle has started in the garden. And he says, I'm going to put a war. There is now a war between you and the woman's family and your family. The way that evil works and the way that God's family works. And now there's a battle that has begun here on earth. And every day you choose to listen to the little voice on one shoulder instead of the other. So what side do you find yourself allying yourself with? Do you find yourself following the darkness or the light? Now here's the problem. There's another verse in 1 Peter, and it says in 1 Peter 4:8, the Bible describes your enemy, the one who lives in darkness. He says, go ahead, put 1 Peter 4 up there. It says, now your enemy, he prowls around. He roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, no, that's not it. It's okay. He says he's seeking who he may devour like a lion. Now, the challenge is this, is if you find yourself making decisions that put you in darkness, then you found yourself becoming lion meat, food for the enemy. You see, a lot of us, we begin to think and we get fooled in the idea that if we do bad things or wrong things, or we make a deal with the devil, or all of a sudden if we live this rough and tough life, then all of a sudden we're gonna rule in hell, and we'll be like right up there with Satan, just pounding knuckles and throwing back some 40s, and yeah, we're gonna rule this place. But that is, you can't be any look. Devil's not in charge of hell. He's not in charge of hell. Okay, he's not the boss. He doesn't run the place. So you're. If you're playing with darkness, then you end up on a losing end. You see, we're in a battle. And this is what happens, is we get tricked into making decisions that put us in a dark place, whether it's through addictions or the things we put in front of our eyes, whether it's the things we put into our bodies, and we put up our noses, or we smoke and little tiny, never mind. It's the decisions we make by when we entertain thoughts of depression, or pride. We think we're better than other people. All of a sudden, what happens is we begin to make these dark decisions that put us in a place within the grasp of the enemy. The Bible says you're going to be slaves. I love Pastor Luke was talking this last week. He was talking about how we're going to either be a slave to the light, to righteousness, to Jesus, or we're going to be a slave to the enemy, to darkness, to Satan. You got to make a pick. We're all going to serve somebody. I would much rather be a servant of the light. See, we're in a battle, and we have an enemy that takes no prisoners. Where do you find yourself? More in the dark? Do you find yourself more in the light? You can see what happens is we've lived our lives for too long as a victim. And the challenge is God's never called us to be that. One of my favorite verses is in Luke, the 4th chapter, where Jesus gives his mission statement. He says, this is why I came here. This is what I'm doing. This is why I showed up on the scene. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And in Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. He's given me a job. He's given me the power. He's given me the right, the responsibility to preach the gospel, the good news to those who are poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. He says, I came to take people who are victims and make them victors. I came to take people who are on they're on their last dollar. They're on the edge. Everybody else has written them off. They said that we might as well just give up on them. I came for those people to point them in the right direction. He says that you have no right to call yourself a victim anymore. No. A victim is somebody that's helpless. I don't know if you've ever felt helpless before. Like, nobody can help me. There's no way out of this. I've gotten myself so far in. There's no way to turn around. There's no way out. I don't know if you've ever felt like you're just up to your neck in trouble, right? Like, if you just crossed the line. Like, you knew it was wrong, but you didn't know it was going to be this bad. I don't know if you've ever felt like, I'm just so far gone. Or maybe you have friends that just feel like they've done so many wrong things that they might as well just go all the way now because they've made this choice or that choice. I remember having one friend in junior high, and she had made some really bad decisions. She said, well, you know what? I've gone this far. I might as well just throw my hands up and just enjoy the lifestyle. And she had done one too many things, and she didn't think there was any way. I remember Jackie telling me that in PE. I dressed out that day, so I got to stay in class. And she told me that this had already happened, so forget it. I might as well. And I don't know if you are that way, you have a friend that's way, but that's the thought. That's the way we think when we're victims. That's the way we think when we don't have any hope. That's the way we think when we think, well, you know what? I was born in this place. I'm a victim of my circumstance. I'm a victim of how much money my family does or doesn't have. I'm a victim to the neighborhood or the project. I'm a victim to the addiction that's found in me. I'm a victim to the fact that my teachers don't like me. I'm a victim to the fact that I was born in the wrong family to the wrong people. I'm a victim to the fact that I don't have a father. I'm a victim to the fact that I'm not smart enough and tall enough and pretty enough. I'm a victim to the number that shows up on the scale when I step on it. I'm a victim to whatever the case is. The fact that nobody likes me. I don't have any friends. The only friend I do have is mean to me. I'm a victim to the fact that I have a list of letters after my name that requires me to take a certain amount of prescription medications. I'm a victim to it, and I'll never be any better than it. But I'll tell you this: if what Jesus says is true, He says He came to set you free from the idea that you're a victim. Him. He came to set you free, that's the limit that you have. Look, that is no longer your limit. That's not the ceiling to how much you're worth or your value. That's not the ceiling to how smart you are or how far you can be. I don't care if nobody's graduated from high school in your family. It's time that you break the limit. It's time that you stop being a victim of that mentality, because Jesus Christ has come to give you a new way of thinking. The number doesn't tell you how much you're worth. How much is in your wallet doesn't tell you how wonderful you are. Look, the family that you came from doesn't mean that's the only family that represents you, because now you're a part of a new family, the family of Jesus Christ. And you and I can either say, I can't help it. It's just the way it is. It is what it is. Stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It is what it is. It is whatever God says it is. And if God said that I was bound, but now I can be free, then that is what it is. If it's not what it is, then it's time that you stand up and you change what it is to make it say what Jesus says it is. Yes, I know that's a lot of it is, but I think you got what it is that I was saying.
Right? That's why you gotta take notes. You gotta take notes, because if it doesn't make sense in here, then it'll make sense in here. You gotta write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down.
There are no victims in this room. There are no victims in this room. There are no victims in this room. I don't care. Look, I do care what's happened to you, but what I don't care is when we think that defines who I am. You are not dirty. You are not impure. You are exactly who God has spoken you to be. And if you find yourself with hurts, then let me introduce you to somebody that heals hurts. If you have things in your past that you feel are haunting you and following you, let me introduce you to someone who wipes away the past. You are no longer a victim. And I think I'm done with this point. Because Easter tells me it's a new day. And God doesn't do reruns. Jesus doesn't do reruns. So when you're rerunning those thoughts through your mind, cancel the subscription. Because God's got new episodes in your life lined up. You see, if we're smart, that's usually as far as we get. I'm going to wrap this thing up in just a minute. Is we go to, oh, yeah, I'm in a battle. I got to fight the flesh. I got to fight the power, you know, the world power, not the police. But uh, I, I gotta fight the devil. Yeah, and then I'm not a victim. No longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Yeah, you got that song. I love that song. Work it. See, that's why they have to play music loud so I can't hear myself sing. If you're wondering, man, it's really loud in this place, that's because Pastor Richard's singing loud. And the music has to be louder than me. And that's as far as we get. But what happens is that's not as far. It's not as far as God wants us to go. Because there's another step to your fight when it comes to today and Satan. You see, we can't live Christianity on the defense. Just shooting back what the enemy throws at us. Like, oh. Drugs, shoot it back. Not me, not today. Oh, temptation. Oh, yeah, you got naked ladies on the internet. Nope, not today. Yeah, and that's good. Like, you would be good if that's the way you live life, right? You would be like, all right. Oh, peer pressure to fit in and do wrong things. Got that? Take that, Satan. Yeah. Just send it back to hell, where it came from. Yeah. Greed, malice, envy. Yeah. Serve. But the problem is you end up living on the defense, right? Here's what happens is life ends up being one battle of Satan coming into your life and pushing you around. No, I'm not going to move. And Satan's going to push you around. No, I'm not going to move. Satan's going to push you around. No, I'm not going to move. But the problem is I don't want to live a defensive life. I don't want to live life on the defense from one bout of depression to the next. That sucks, man. God's called us to take it to the next step, and that's where you go from on the defense. Oh, the big bad devil's coming. Where you go on the offense, where you take the fight to the enemy. No battle. Look, you cannot win the Super Bowl only playing a good defensive game. You can't. I don't care how good your defense is. You cannot win any type of game on defense. You've got to have a strong offense. And if you're going to live your life as a Christian who says you love Jesus, you need to take it to the next level and go from defense to offense to where you're like, oh here you go, oh, temptation. Where you're like, what, fool? You keep on throwing this junk at me. I'm going to take this to you, and I'm going to take your racket out of your hands, Satan. I'm sick and tired of you giving me trouble. I don't want no more trouble, sucker. We got to take it to the offense. You've got to go into his ground. I love what Jesus said. He says, here's the gates of hell, and by no means will it overcome the church. Gates don't move. So you have to go to the gate, rip it down, and God's called us to plunder hell, to go into the enemy's camp and take back. This old gospel song got me in trouble. I used to sing it in math class. People thought I was weird. You got to go to the enemy's camp. What? Who am I? Who? Am I going to wear a muumuu next week? You got to go to the enemy's camp. Take back what he stole from me. Because he's under my feet. He's under my feet. This is why they thought I was weird in math class. Because Satan is under my feet. Will. See, you don't know none of this. You don't know 17-year-old Pastor Richard Nouse. Thank you, Pastor Joe. Shout it down. Where's your hanky at? Because you need to wave that sucker. Oh, stop me. Stop me now. Stop me now. Oh, somebody stop me. I'm getting hot. All right, we got to shut this thing down. Hey, what can you say? God's good. God's so good, brother, make a brother get a little loud. See, the problem is this. Now, and listen to me here. Is if you live day to day waiting to see what the world brings you, then you will never fulfill the plan that God has in your life. Because what happens is we think this. This is what we think. If it's God's will, it will happen. This is the second dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Pastor Richard, no, stop it. Now, I know God's will is going to get done, like, because God can't win. Excuse me. Burp. Hey. Angel's the one calling Jesus Satan, okay? So, he's the one. Anyway. Bring it back. We know there's no way that God can lose. Can I get an amen? Thank you. There's no way God can lose. Okay, that theological idea is set in stone. But is it God's will that your family be broken? Is it God's will that every day young people commit suicide? Is it God's will that some of us in this place have parents that are addicted to meth, that are getting drunk, and that's the only way? Is it God's will that students are dropping out of school? Is it God's will that that some of us in this place are stuck in financial situations that are just too bleak? Is it God's will? Is it God's will that some people are scared to get married because they don't want to get a divorce? Is it God's will that some of you in this place are being bullied at school and people are making fun of you and you're scared to go certain places because it's dangerous? Is that God's will? No. No, it's not. And this is where we come into the place when we see places that God's presence is not. It is your job to take the game to the enemy and say, look, I live in the ghetto, but that don't mean I got to be ghetto. Because if I live in the ghetto, I'm going to take God's good into this place, and I'm going to turn it around with goodness and kindness and love. And look, if your family is crazy, that doesn't mean you have to be crazy. Stop being crazy. Because you can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in your heart, and you can take it to your family, and you can be the change. And all of a sudden, you take God's goodness to a dark place, and now dark places become lighter. Why? Because Jesus Christ is going places in you and through you, and now you're fighting an offensive game. When you get to passports, temptation. You're like, what? How about I tempt you, Satan? How about you take some of God's goodness, and I'm going to shove it down your throat? Because I'm the big white dog and you're that little tiny black dog. Come on! Pastor Richard, crazy. This is why I'm going to do Easter one time a year. Because I can't handle every Easter every month. I got to talk about Bible verse here. Oh, snaps. Luke 10. Jesus sends out 70 disciples. I thought he had 12. That's why you got to read the Bible. Sends out 70 disciples. And he says, I want you to go out and tell people about me, how wonderful I am. I want you to pray for them, heal them, cast out demons, all that kind of junk. And they're like, oh my gosh, Jesus, come back. We did it. You wouldn't believe it, Jesus. And Jesus is like, seriously, you think I wouldn't believe it? I'm God. But he listens to them anyway, and they're like, we prayed, and people got healed, and there's blind people, and they weren't blind no more, and this one dude had demons in him, and they don't have demons in him. Jesus is crazy. And Jesus said, hey, you think that's crazy? He says, he says here in Luke 10, it says in 18, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. He said, get a load of this. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, Jesus sent out the disciples to go into their schools, into their workplaces, into their neighborhoods, into their apartment complexes, into their streets, and they brought God's goodness where it wasn't. That is your job. Your job is to take God's goodness wherever it's not. That's the offense. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall. You're kicking his butt. When you did what you did, we win. Satan loses. And then we get to the place where the devil begins to fear you. Not because you're wonderful or tough or bad. Not because you pray so much or because you memorize so many things of the Bible, but you begin to, the enemy fears you because you live in the fullness of what it means to be a child of God. Does this make sense? I hope it does. I hope it does, because what happens is I want hell to know my name. I would like hell to know my name. Richard Dean Villanueva, that's right, Junior. It's Trudeau. I'm Richard Dean Villanueva, Jr. Thank you. He knows my name. But I want hell to know my name. Why? Be- because when they hear my name, I want it to shake. Not because I'm wonderful, but because they know that when Richard Dean Villanueva Jr. walks into a Starbucks, when he walks into a campus, when he walks into his street down in Yucaipa, that I bring Jesus Christ with me, because he's not scared of me. I'm nothing. But the Jesus inside of me makes me who I really was created to be. The Jesus inside of me makes all of hell shake. May hell know my name, because I bring God's goodness wherever I go. I already know God knows my name, but I want to be on hell's most wanted list, per se. James 4:7, shut it down. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. When we realize that the weakest Christian can put the strongest of hell on lockdown, then you know how strong the power of God is within you. Then you know that when you're tempted, Pastor Rich, I just want to run away. Pastor Rich, I'm getting in fights with my parents. Pastor Rich, I don't know who I am anymore. My identity is confused. Pastor Richard, I don't know who I should be dating. Pastor Richard, I just can't kick this one thing I keep on saying I'll never ever do again, but I keep on doing it. Pastor Richard, I just can't. When you begin to realize this, those battles begin to fade because you are so occupied in doing the goodness of God that the evilness of this world no longer has an appeal to you. It's like, I'm not confused as to who I am because I know exactly who Jesus Christ has created me to be. But I still have these thoughts and desires. But that doesn't matter because the desires don't define me. Jesus Christ defines me. My temptations do not define me. They don't make me this way or that way or the other way. All of a sudden, the temptations inside of me, they bow its knee to Jesus Christ. And I don't live that way anymore. I don't have time to mess with this junk. Ain't nobody got time for that. Because Jesus Christ said, when I saw you guys go out and do my work, I saw Satan fall like lightning. When you go out and you love a kid that's sitting alone at your school, ain't nobody be friends with him. But when you begin to do that, Satan falls like lightning. When you love your mom, even though your mom has been getting on your case and you're on your last nerve and you're just ready to just tell her off, slam some doors and punch holes in walls. When you begin to love the unlovable, which is sometimes our family, the enemy falls like lightning. When you are confused inside of yourself and you don't know what to do, but you do what God tells you and has spoken to you to do instead of how you feel, oh, the enemy falls because now you're taking the fight to him. You're not just knocking back serves. And if we do that, oh, that's what Easter is all about. Is when people that love and believe in Jesus begin to live in the fullness of what God has called them to do. Does that make sense? If you guys got anything I got to do, let's give him praise.